It was the virtue, the holiness of Jesus that made him separate from sinners. It was the love of Jesus that made him sensitive to sinners.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
I believe that evangelism, in the biblical sense, is something that one lives and breathes. It's much more than a method. It is a mood, an attitude toward life. It is a mentality, more than a set of mechanics. I think there's a tendency in our day and age to always be looking for better methods. If we just had a new method, we just had a new outline, a new skeleton on which we could hang our ideas, we just had a new method, we'd be better evangelists. I don't think that's necessarily true. Men are always looking for better methods. God is always looking for better men. When God looks for men like this, I think he wants these men, these women, to have two basic characteristics. And these are the methods, if you will, that I have in mind. These are the essential methods in biblical evangelism. I think that God is looking for men and women with two basic characteristics. First of all, those who have a living contact with men. And then secondly, those who have a living contact with God. If we have a living, vibrant contact with men, we're building bridges on a regular basis, and our hearts are yielded to Christ, and we're subordinate to his authority, God will show himself strong to us as we reach out to those who need the Lord Jesus Christ. He's looking for men and women who have a living contact with men. They're building bridges to those who have needs. I think it's important that both of those dimensions be kept in mind in order for us to understand what it means to develop a living contact with men. We must first learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had a living contact with men. And he has something very powerful to say to us from a twofold perspective. Both the example and the teaching of Jesus are a powerful rebuke to our tendencies to isolation from those around us. So first of all, we need to learn from Jesus. And we need to learn first from his example. The heart of Jesus Christ of Nazareth was aflame with a burden for those who were lost. There was that insatiable hunger to bring lost people to the Father through himself. It's an example we would do well to follow. Let's look at his example for a moment. The people of Jesus' day perceived him as a man who had answers. And far from being repelled by the message of Jesus, the Bible says in Luke 15 and verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. Publicans and sinners gathered all around Jesus with a spirit of anticipation as he spoke. I would suggest that as we live out our lives for the glory of God, as we live out our lives in conformity to the principles of Scripture, as we yield our wills and our lives to the authority of Jesus Christ over our lives, there ought to be that time when men should be attracted to us as they were to the Lord Jesus Christ. Publicans and sinners. Not because we sanction their lifestyle, because Jesus never sanctioned their lifestyle. He never sanctioned their sins. Not because we sanction their lifestyle, but because they can see in our lives and have heard from our lips a message that can liberate them from the emptiness of their lifestyles. As they were attracted to Jesus, ultimately they should be attracted to us as we live out this message, as we personify this message before them. You know, the point of view of Jesus was radically different from those of the Pharisees. Do you remember these contrasts in the Gospels? The Pharisees would gather up their robes and recoil in self-righteous horror in the presence of a prostitute. Jesus forgave and then changed and transformed a prostitute and allowed her to wash his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair, Luke 7, 37 and 38. The Pharisees had no dealings with the publicans and the sinners, regarding them as politically and morally despicable. Jesus entered into their homes and ate with them on occasion. The Pharisees threw stones at lepers to make them keep their distance. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched a leper into health, physically and spiritually. Matthew 8 and verse 3. The question is this. In our day and age, in this evangelistic process, in the development of a meaningful relationship, a living contact with non-Christian men and women who need to come to know Christ as our Savior, the question is this. Are we like Jesus or are we like the Pharisees? It's a probing question. Jesus ate with publicans and sinners, Matthew 9:11. And he did so in order that he might fulfill his mandate of calling sinners to repentance. That's what he said. That's my motive, Matthew 9, verse 13. My motive is not social, it's spiritual. It's a part of my overall strategy to win a man to Christ. I'll eat a meal with him. When was the last time we ate a meal with a non-Christian? When was the last time we ate a meal with a non-Christian? As a part of our overall strategy to win him to Jesus Christ. Jesus was called the friend of publicans and sinners, Matthew 11 and 19. How much friendship have we exhibited toward those who are lost and need Christ? Like the Lord Jesus Christ, it is imperative that men come to say of us as individuals and come to say of this local church, this man receiveth sinners. Luke 15 in verse 2. He welcomes them into his presence, not again because he sanctions their lifestyle, but because he is anxiously anticipating an opportunity to minister to their needs, to reach out to them and to deliver them from what can only be ruinous in their lives. The example of Jesus is a powerful example of building living contacts to men. And that's how we do the work of evangelism. Not only the example of Jesus, but also the teaching of Jesus. Jesus taught us quite clearly that we are to touch the unregenerate world. We're to reach out and touch it. Jesus taught, for example, that his disciples were to be light. You read it in Matthew 5, 13, 14, and 15. He taught that his disciples were to be light to dispel the darkness, and they were to be salt to arrest decay. Now, what did he mean by that? He meant that we were to build living contacts to men. He meant that God's purpose is for us to penetrate into the world as light filters into the darkness and dispels it, and as salt is rubbed into the meat to season and preserve it, or into the wound to heal it. We're to touch them as the light touches and expels the darkness. And as the salt touches and heals the wound, we're to touch them. We're to build living contacts to lost men to fulfill the mandate to be the evangelist that God intended for us to be. But now we must stop here for a moment. It's very important for us to be reminded of something. Christians must always maintain a very delicate balance here with respect to the world. Like Jesus, we are to be separate from sinners. Hebrews 7, verse 26. In terms of their philosophies and practices, refusing to identify with them. But simultaneously, and that's a key word, and it's something we need to learn. We need to put our thinking caps on now and think about what's being said. Try to discern the motif, the pattern, the method that is in Scripture, this idea of building living contacts to the non-Christian world. Like Jesus, we are to be separate from sinners by refusing to identify with their philosophies and practices. Hebrews 7, 26, separate from sinners. But simultaneously, at the very same moment, we are to be like Jesus in the sense that we become the friend of sinners. Matthew 11, and verse 19. By reaching out to them as people in need. To be separated from them means to be insulated from the philosophies and practices of the world. But to befriend them means to refuse to be isolated from those who are suffering under the weight of their alienation from God. Did you follow the point there? To be separated from them means to be insulated from the philosophy and the practices of the world. But to befriend them means to refuse to be isolated from those who are suffering under the weight of their alienation from God. They're already abiding under the wrath of God, John 3 and verse 36. They're suffering under the weight of their alienation from God. They are exhausted in their weary pursuit of truth and deliverance. They faint as sheep who have no shepherd. That's how Jesus saw them. He was separate from them in terms of his virtue, his holiness. But he was accessible to them in terms of his love and sensitivity and concern for their well-being. It was the virtue, the holiness of Jesus that made him separate from sinners. It was the love of Jesus that made him sensitive to sinners. Learning how to express both of those ingredients simultaneously is one of the great tasks of Christian living. So Jesus teaches us something. He gives us an example of building bridges, quite in contrast to the attitude of the Pharisees. He gives us an example of building bridges, and then he gives us a teaching. You Christians, you are salt, you are light. That means you must touch the world in which you live, the pagans in which you live. You must build bridges to them as a part of your overall strategy to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in so doing, you must never compromise a principle of God's holiness or of God's word. You must learn to reflect both holiness and love simultaneously. Jesus wants to teach us something. This is what he wants to teach us. Christian salt has no business to remain snugly in elegant little ecclesiastical salt shakers. Christian salt, you and I, we are the salt of the earth. We have no business to remain in beautiful little elegant ecclesiastical salt shakers within the framework of our church and nowhere else. Nor does Christian light have any business remaining secretly and invisibly behind the protective covering of the Christian community. Jesus says salt is to be rubbed into the secular society. Light is to penetrate into the darkness and dispel it. As things go from bad to worse in our culture, we Christians have a tendency to throw up our hands in pious horror and reproach the world, the non-Christian world. But should we not rather reproach ourselves? The real question is this: where is the light dispelling the darkness? Where is the salt arresting the decay? Are we building bridges? Do we have living contacts with lost men with a view to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ? So we must ask ourselves. We must ask ourselves, what is our Christian community like? What is our church like? Are we a self-regarding, inward-looking clique, comfortable and resting? Or are we penetrating like salt and light into the non-Christian world? We must ask ourselves another question, not only about our church. We must ask this question: what kind of a Christian am I? Am I a self-regarding, inward-looking, pious particle, living out my life in my own little hermetically sealed unit, a little hermit, sealed off from the rest of the world, enjoying all the benefits of Christianity, but never allowing it to dawn upon my mind that I have this awesome responsibility to share those benefits with others? Are we pious particles living out our lives all by ourselves in our little hermetically sealed units? Or am I penetrating as salt and light into the decay and darkness of my own world of influence? The Lord Jesus, he has a message for us. He has two great methods in evangelism: a living contact with men and a living contact with God. And he says, I want you to learn something from me, from my example and from my teaching, about building a living contact with men.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Men can be wooed into God's kingdom, but they can't be bullied into it. You can't cram the gospel down a man's throat. That's all there is to it.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.